You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In the Benny Green Archives.
One of the most rewarding things about compiling these programs is the way that every so often a ghost from my own past suddenly materializes and causes me to rethink my position. When I first started out in pursuit of music, I was a schoolboy, just on the threshold of my teens and ready to approach the problem in the same spirit of statistical eagerness that I'd already applied to football and cricket. I made lists of instrumentalists who took my fancy and I graded everybody, first division, second division and so on. And among the musicians I thought was quite good, but not very good, was a piano player whose name popped up frequently in the personnels of famous jazz recordings. He couldn't have been all that bad a player because he worked with some of the most respected jazz musicians of the late 1920s, men like Bix Beiderbecke, Frank Trumbull and the Dorsey Brothers. And yet his occasional solos didn't sound too much to get excited about, nothing remotely in the class of people like Teddy Wilson or Earl Hines. And yet this pianist, in the end, was to outstrip almost every other jazz pianist who took to songwriting. His name was Rube Bloom, born April 1902, and he's in my thoughts this afternoon because he died on March the 30th, 1976. He was rather better educated in the formal sense than some of the jazz piano players of those days. He made his entry into the profession by accompanying vaudeville acts, and he even wrote a book on how to play the piano. What he never did was to write a book about how to write a good song, which is a pity because, although I think you can't learn that particular trick, his reflections on the job of concocting melodies might have made interesting reading. This one was published in 1939.
Day in, day out, same old hoodoo follows me about. Same old pounding in my heart whenever I think of you. And darling, I think of you day in and day out. Day out, day in. I needn't tell you how my days begin. When I awaken with a tingle, one possibility in view, that possibility of maybe seeing you. Come rain, come shine, I meet you and to me the day is fine. Then I kiss your lips and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar, a thousand drums. Can't you see it's love? Can there be any doubt when there it is, day in, day shine. I meet you and to me the day is fine. Then I kiss those lips and the pounding becomes a large ocean's roar, 9,000 drums. Can't you see that it's love? Can there be any doubt when there it is? And here it is, when there it is, day in, day out.
day in, day out. And as we go through Rube Bloom's catalogue, the striking thing to emerge is the exclusivity of Frank Sinatra when it comes to the definitive versions. It all turns out to be a bit of a Sinatra recital, but I don't suppose that's such a terrible thing. The words of Day In, Day Out were, of course, written by Bloom's most suitable partner, Johnny Mercer, who inherited Bloom through a contractual fluke. In 1935, with America up to its corporate neck in the worst economic slump of the century, songwriters were inclined to take whatever work was going, and the work Mercer wanted that year was the Shirley Temple saga, with the terrifying title of Dimples. But in the end, the job of writing the Dimple lyrics went to Ted Kohler, who couldn't afford not to accept. Now, Kohler was all set to leave for England with Rube Bloom to write a review for C.B. Cochrane, a review which was masterminded by the King of the Blackbirds, Lou Leslie. And when Kohler opted for Shirley Temple instead of Temple Bar, Bloom was left without a lyricist, and so Mercer inherited the London job. And after the London trip, the pair of them settled down to write some songs which are with us still. In 1940, the year after Day In, Day Out, they came up with a song whose title was borrowed by Mercer from the works of the smallest poet in English literature, Alexander Pope, who is said to have stood well over 4 feet tall. In his Essay on Man, Pope coined a phrase so famous that most people are inclined to credit it to William Shakespeare. But then again, people are always getting their lyric writers mixed up, and it was Pope, not Shakespeare, who provided Mercer with the opening phrase of his song, a phrase which takes up the first 3 bars of the tune.
Fools rush in where angels fear to tread, and so I come to you, my love, my heart above my head. Though I see the danger there, if there's a chance for me, then I don't care. Where wise men never go, but wise men never fall in love, so how are they to know? I felt my life begin, so open up your heart and let this fool rush in. Felt my life begin, so open up your heart and let this fool rush in.
Fools Rush In, and a memorable exhibition of breath control, among other things there, by Sinatra. Bloom was one of those men who were afflicted in everyday life with an embarrassing stammer, but who shed the affliction the moment they start singing. And Mercer has described how stimulating it was to work with Bloom, because he knew that if only he could achieve a good lyric, Bloom would take such pleasure in singing it that the stammer would vanish completely. Mercer also recalls Bloom as a real stickler for correct grammar, spelling, and factual accuracy. Some people found this a bit of a nuisance, but not Mercer, who was a bit of a connoisseur of language himself. What of Bloom's other collaborators, especially Ted Kohler? Well, before Shirley Temple came between them, Bloom and Kohler had written one or two trifles for Ruth Etting, one of which turned up very fleetingly in the film Love Me or Leave Me, a biopic about Miss Etting featuring Doris Day.
Stay on the right side, sister, stay on the right side, sister, stay on the right side of the road. Look out for old man Satan, he's on the wrong side, wait and keep on the bright side of the road. Once you let the devil take your hand, you'll never get to Hallelujah Land. I see a great day dawning, you better heed my warning, stay on the right side of the road. Once you let the devil take your hand, you'll never get to Hallelujah Land. I see a great day dawning, you better heed my warning, stay on the right side of the road. Stay on the right side, stay on the right side, stay on the right side of the road.
Stay on the Right Side with Doris Day, words and music by Rube Bloom and Ted Kohler. When Mercer and Bloom came back from London, they wrote together, but each of them worked where the whim and the work took him. In 1937, Mercer was involved with those two old masters, Dick Whiting and Harry Warren, and concurrent with the Bloom partnership was not so very far from his work with Jerome Kern and Harold Arlen. Bloom, too, was busy with several writers, including Kohler. And in the time when the Second World War was just about getting started, the two of them produced the most outstanding song of their entire career together.
I frankly believe that this next song is one of the great American standards of our repertoire in this nation.
Don't worry about me. I'll get along. Just you forget about me. Be happy, my love. Just say that our little show is over, and so the story ends. Why not call it a day in a sensible way? And we'll remain friends. Look out for yourself. Should be the rule. You just give your heart and your love to whomever you love. Don't you be a fool. Baby, why stop and cling to some fading thing that used to be? So if you can't forget, don't you worry about. Baby, why stop and cling to some losing thing that used to be? Well, if you can forget,
Don't you worry about me.
Thank you. It's a marvelous song. Really great standard.
Sinatra once again interpreting the melodic cadences of Rube Bloom with words by Ted Kohler. Before I leave the career of Rube Bloom, I ought to cover one other song that he wrote with a different partner, that notorious eccentric Harry Ruby. For most of his career, Ruby collaborated with Burt Kalmar, but the occasional song with other writers did appear. And in 1946, he came up with one of his best melodies working with Bloom on a picture called Wake Up and Dream, starring John Payne and several other victims of a dreary script and an idiotic plot. A word of explanation here. British audiences were offered two Wake Up and Dreams. The one I refer to was the second. The first had come in 1942, starring the Andrews Sisters, Gloria Jean and the Woody Herman Band. This one was no masterpiece either, but probably it wasn't quite as soporific as the second one. And looking back, the only good reason for making the second one at all was the song that Rube Bloom and Harry Ruby wrote for it.
Folks are blessed who make the best of every day, living by their own philosophy. Everyone beneath the sun must find a way, and I have found the only way for me. I don't believe in fretting and grieving. Why mess around with strife? I never was cut out to step and strut out. Give me the simple life. Some find it pleasant dining on pheasant. Those things roll off my knife. Just serve me tomatoes and mashed potatoes. Give me the simple life. Cottage small is all I'm after, not one that's spacious and wide. A house that rings with joy and laughter, and the one you love inside. Some like the high road, I like the low road, free from the care and strife. Sounds corny and seedy, but yes, indeed, I like the simple life. Willing to be a farmer's wife. Kids calling me pappy sure make me happy. Give me the simple life.
Give me the simple life. Words and music by Harry Ruby and Rube Bloom. Not one of the very greatest songwriters, but an outstanding member of the Quality Brigade. And one who I came across as a mere child without realising I was listening to a musician who'd already enjoyed a second career as a successful songwriter. On April the 3rd, 1950, there died a very different sort of composer. As a matter of fact, he was very different from everyone whose work is ever featured in this programme. A classical musician, in the very best sense of the word, Kurt Weill fled to America in the aftermath of the political collapse of Germany in 1933 and turned himself into a Broadway composer of superb poise and imagination. Lately, the case of Weill has been much discussed in the classical music columns of some of the more intellectual newspapers. And to judge from what's been said, the writers appear to have been living in barrels for the last 50 years. The tendency has been to belittle Weill's achievement on the Broadway stage, presumably because they made money. and to express regret at the loss of a symphonic writer to the fleshpots of the New World. All twaddle, written by men who have been too idle to find out the circumstances of Weill's musical life once he arrived in America. Writing to order against a deadline for a non-singer is not a sellout, but an acceptance of the most arduous ground rules. Weill found himself in that pickle when, in composing songs for Knickerbocker Holiday in 1937, he was confronted by a leading man, Walter Houston, who wanted to sing even though he couldn't, at least not in the conventional sense. Weill came up with the goods in a way which did not at all stain his conservatoire reputation.
When I was a young man courting the girls, I played me a waiting game. If a maid refused me with tossing curls, I'd let the old earth take a couple of whirls while I plied her with tears in lieu of pearls. And as time came around, she came my way. As time came around, she came. When you meet with the young girls early in the spring, you court them in song and rhyme. They answer with words and a clover ring, but if you could examine the goods they bring, they have little to offer but the songs they sing. And a plentiful waste of time of day. A plentiful waste of time. Oh, it's a long, long while from December, but the days grow short when you reach September, when the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame. One hasn't got time for the waiting game. Oh, the days dwindle down to a precious few. September, precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend.
September song, Kurt Weill and Maxwell Anderson, from the 1937 Broadway show Knickerbocker Holiday, and thereby hangs a tale. Knickerbocker Holiday was a rerun of the old story of the autocratic rule over New York of Governor Stuyvesant 300 years ago. In the show, we see the dictator finally overthrown by what some people at the time called the First Americans, although what the Cherokee and the Navajo thought of that, I sometimes wonder. Anyway, Walter Houston played the autocrat with such charm and sang September song so winningly that it really upset the balance of the plot. When the dictator gets all the best songs, the message is likely to go astray. Anyway, Kurt Weill distinguished himself without question. Sometimes you read in the newspapers of the passing of some distinguished figure from the past who seems to represent a lost age. Very often, when your eye catches the item, some old song, maybe just a faint bouquet of melody, flits across the mind for a moment and then it's gone. And the odd thing is that sometimes the melody pops up, even though the obituary notice which inspired it was of somebody not known for musical qualities. How curious that popular music, which is always striving so hard to be up to the minute, usually ends up being the perfect symbol of another time and another way of going about things. My next performance belongs to the past again. I was a teenager when this next one was taking place. And now when I hear it, I realise that it's no wonder I was so besotted with jazz. Listen to the thrilling clarity and imagination of the trumpet solo.
I'm confessing that I love you, babe. Tell me, do you love me too? I'm confessing that I need you. Honest, I do. Oh, need you every moment. In your eyes I read such strange things, babe. But your lips deny they're true. Will your answer really change things? Making them blue,
making them blue.
I'm afraid someday you'll leave me, saying just can't we be friends? If you go, you know you'll grieve me. All my life in you depends, oh babe. Am I guessing that you love me? Dreaming dreams of you in vain. Oh, I'm confessing that I love you over again.
Attached to I'm Confessing is December the 7th, 1944, and even as I recite that date, I can see myself listening open-mouthed and perhaps with a bit of a closed mind too. Now, I think I can say that my next choice is my deliberate mistake of the week. It was on January the 16th, 1964, that there opened on Broadway Hello Dolly, based on Thornton Wilder's The Matchmaker, which was itself based on Thornton Wilder's The Merchant of Yonkers, which was itself based on Johann Nestroy's unpronounceable Viennese comedy, which was itself based on John Oxenham's A Day Well Spent. So here, to mark the moment when all those plays were squashed into one and put to music, is...
I have always been a woman who arranges things for the pleasure and the profit it derives. I have always been a woman who arranges things like furniture and daffodils and lies. If you want your sister courted, brother wed, or cheese imported, just leave everything to me. If you want your roof inspected, eyebrows tweezed, or bills collected, just leave everything to me. If you want your daughter dated or some marriage consummated for a rather modest fee. If you want a husband spotted, boyfriend traced, or chicken potted, I'll arrange for making all arrangements. Just leave everything to me. If you want your ego bolstered, muscles toned, or chair upholstered, just leave everything to me. Charming social introductions, expert mandolin instructions, just leave everything to me. If you want your culture rounded, French improved, or torso pounded with a 10-year guarantee. If you want a birth recorded, collies bred, or kittens boarded, I'll proceed to plan the whole procedure. Just leave everything to me.
Where to, Dolly?
Yonkers, New York, to handle a highly personal matter for Mr. Horace Van de Gelder, the well-known unmarried half a millionaire.
Gonna marry him yourself, Dolly?
Why, Mr. Sullivan, whatever put such a preposterous idea into my head? Your head. If you want a law abolished, jewelry suede, or toenails polished, just leave everything to me. If you want your liver tested, glasses made, cash invested, just leave everything to me. If you want your children cargo corsets, boulder furs, remodeled, or some nice fresh rigazine. If you want your bustle shifted, breading planned, or bosom lifted, don't be ashamed, girls, life is full of secrets and I keep them. I'll discreetly use my own discretion. I'll arrange for making all arrangements. I'll proceed to plan the whole procedure. Just leave everything to me.
Just Leave Everything to Me sings Barbra Streisand as Dolly Levi, but not on January the 16th, 1964, because that song was added years later for the screen version. To close this session, a return to Kurt Vile and Far Away, the greatest German popular song of this century.
Oh, the shark has pearly teeth deep, and he shows them pearly white. Just a jack. And he keeps it out of sight. When the shark bites with his teeth, dear, scar the billows start to spread. Fancy gloves though, where's my key, dear?
Yes, 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 the song.
Ella Fitzgerald with the Duke Ellington Orchestra and one of Kurt Weill's best pieces, and that's it. See you same time next week.
You've been listening to In the Benny Green Archives here on lgradio.online. Please do visit the website to find out when the next episode is on, along with all our other shows. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.